Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
720 WGN, John Landecker, 10 minutes after 7 o'clock, going all the way to 10 tonight. And a little montage of Three Stooges sound effects. What? You mean they didn't really make those noises when they did the poking and the slapping? Not really. And it's a way to transition into our guest this evening, Gary Lassen. I don't know. I don't know, Gary. Is the author of a book called A Tour de Farce, The Complete History of the Stooges on the Road. Good evening, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Oh, God, I knew it.
Hopefully that's going to be my last impersonation. I usually
feel free.
Thanks so much for having me. Welcome to all the Stoogeaholics in the Chicago area.
So this book, my first question is, how much does it weigh?
8.5 pounds, maybe close to 9, if it soaks up a little humidity.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to demonstrate on the air the past couple of nights the size of this book, and I even just stood and dropped it on the floor of the studio.
I went for the editing. I cheapskated on the editing and left a few hundred pages in there that maybe could have been cut out. But it's a long story. The Stooges were on the road for 50 years and played at a lot of places, John, and their story needed to be told, and that's the reason for the big book.
Well, I got a lot of questions, and hopefully we'll have some people call in or text in at 312-981-7200 if they have any. So much material, Gary. It's really a visual. I wish right now we were on some sort of Zoom call or something, because each page is loaded with reproductions of, I guess you would call it, theater bills that, you know, that would be outside the theater, who was appearing, and there'd be the Stooges and whoever else was on. And this goes on page after page after page, year after year after year. What? Why? Why, I guess.
Why? Go on the road, or why?
Why, Gary? Why? Why? Why do this?
Well, the Stooges went on the road to make money, I can tell you that. That was the way they made a living. And I wrote a book to document their story, which had never been documented before. Those are the two easy answers.
I mean, okay, I'm going to write a book and document the stories, but this has literally every appearance ever by the Stooges over, from when to when? When does the time, what's the timeline on the book? When does it start and when does it end?
Well, officially it starts in 1929, because that's the first time that two Howard brothers and Larry Fine were all working together. But I covered years before that, before they had all gotten together. It covers, roughly 50 some years. And, the inspiration for the story was kind of strange. I was standing in line back in the early 1990s, mid-1990s, behind someone who had a Rolling Stones T-shirt on with their Steel Wheels tour. And it had a list of all the cities that they had played. And, April 1st, they were in Chattanooga, April 2nd, Memphis. And, I thought, wow, this is really great. They documented every place they went on that tour. Wouldn't it be great if we had that for the Stooges? But we didn't have anything like that at the time. There was nothing like it. So I just sort of tucked the idea away. And in earnest, I started a little Excel spreadsheet and put an appearance in here, another one there. And about 20 years later and 2,000 appearances later, I found that I had enough material for a book. So that's really how it went down.
Did you ever consider doing a tour shirt? I think that would be, I'd take it. Well, maybe you have just small letters, but man, I'd love one. The Stooges tour shirt. Come on. Who wouldn't want that? Seriously. I mean,
I don't begrudge the Stones. I love the Stones. It's great. But I was a little upset, truthfully, that, that little tour had every date was documented, and the Stooges toured for 50 some odd years, and no one had really ever attempted to document where they had been, who they had played with, or anything like that. So that was the job.
You think I'm being satirical or whatever, but I'm almost serious about this tour T-shirt idea. When I graduated from college, okay, they printed the name of everybody in the class on the back of a shirt. And yeah, okay. It's really, really small lettering. but everybody's there. That's all. I'll leave it there. You've got plenty to do with the Stoogeum and the Stooge this and the Stooge that. And we're going to get to more with Gary Larson, author of A Tour de Farce, The Complete History of the Stooges on the Road, when we come back at 720 WGN. Yeah, with the first pick in the NFL draft, the Chicago Bears take the Three Stooges. 19 minutes after 7 o'clock with John Landecker, talking to Gary Larson, author of A Tour de Farce, The Complete History of the Stooges on the Road. Already getting some great reaction, Gary, on a text line from 630. Oh, my God, my two boys are 30 and 31. One of my best memories are watching the Stooges with them when they were young. Never saw them laugh so hard. Yeah, I feel the same way. My mind is spinning. Okay, let's see what we can do here. First of all, do you think there is a significant... Do you think women like the Stooges?
They don't like them as much as men do.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's what...
Why don't women like the Stooges and whatever? And truthfully, it is mostly a guy thing.
Yeah.
But why would women like them? I mean, look, they're not good looking. Look, they don't have steady jobs. They're not good looking guys. They have bad table manners. There's nothing about them a woman would like.
Well said. So, what first got you interested?
Table manners. They specialize in bad.
He's breaking up. Is that because of his phone line or our phone line or whose phone line? You want to try to reconnect? Would that be plausible? Do you want me to do that?
Now, am I here?
We're going to try to reconnect with you, Gary, because you're breaking up on the, and it's a little confusing. Well, not confusing, but it's hard to, what's the word I'm looking for? Understand what's going on, or converse, if you will. 224, I'm 24 years old, and I used to watch The Three Stooges with my dad. I got into the Stooges probably the same way most people do who are into the Stooges, and that's like somewhere in elementary school. I had a local TV station with a personality who came on and showed Three Stooges, and it was just absolutely hysterical. Gary, are you there?
You got Gary? Me now?
Oh, okay. We have him back. So what got you started? What was your first interest in the Three? What got you interested in the Three Stooges to begin with?
Well, back when I was a kid in the early '60s, when we came home from school, there were only three TV channels at the time, and the Stooges were on one of the three channels. You couldn't avoid seeing them, and you know, as a kid, they were so totally different than anything else on the air. They were like human cartoons. You know, they defied the laws of physics. They had their own laws. You know, a bomb went off at their feet, and their clothes were tattered, but their bodies were fine, and they were knocked unconscious, and a bucket of water thrown on them would wake them up magically. It was like they were cartoon characters, but they were real people. I was totally fascinated by it. I had never seen anything like that, and I never have since, truthfully.
Yeah, I love that. In the preface of your book, you list 1, 2, 3... Let's see, 6 or 7 of these points, and you mentioned a couple of them, and the other, there's another one. Shotguns fired aimlessly into the sky will strike flying fowl with 100% accuracy. I mean, all this stuff is so true. It's so true.
Yeah,
so,
they could fire a shotgun in the air, and they'd get 2 geese and a duck, you know.
And they wouldn't be aiming at anything. They'd just fire it.
No, of course not.
So, you know, what was it in your development as an adult toward adulthood that kept the Stooge thing going to the extent that you are the, I believe, founder and president of the, you converted one of your homes into a Stooge museum. You did this book. When did the Stooges more or less?
Yeah, well, what it was an accident, truly an accident, that I started dating a girl who was related to Larry Fine, and I wound up marrying her. So that was really the difference maker for me. You know, when I was dating her in college, and she let on she was related to somebody famous, but she was sort of embarrassed to tell me who it was. She wasn't telling, you know, she wouldn't let on. And then she finally told me she was related to Larry Fine, but she was not really proud of it for some reason. You know, she was always afraid of her Uncle Larry. You know, the two just poked each other, and they hit each other. And as a little girl, she was always afraid of them. To the extent they had to tell her when he come to visit that it was Uncle Max was coming to visit, because when they said Uncle Larry was coming, she got all upset. So she didn't get upset when Uncle Max came, so that's what they told her. But, you know, she wasn't really proud that she was related to Larry, but I was sort of excited to be dating someone related to him, and I had to figure out a way to marry this girl, and I did. So I sort of married into the Stooges family, and I met her grandfather, who was Larry Fine's brother, and that's really got me started in the collecting. He showed me some of the things that he had, and I was collecting baseball cards, which were pretty boring, I got to tell you, you know, because most of the cards are all looking the same as a guy swinging a bat or a guy throwing a ball. And I started getting into Stooge collecting, and I found, wow, there's comic books, there's records, there's books, there's posters, there's all kinds of stuff. And you sort of had to look for it. It wasn't that easy to find, and there wasn't really anybody out collecting it. So I thought this was going to be a good hobby for me, and it was like a snowball rolling down the hill. I just couldn't get enough of the stuff. I didn't steal, but I did whatever I had to do to collect the stuff, and that's what I did for many years.
Yeah, president of the Three Stooges Fan Club, owner and curator of the Three Stooges Museum called the Stoogium, which you can see at stoogium.com. It's really an unbelievable effort, I have to say, on your part to compile.
Certainly. I said I wasn't going to do impersonations.
Right. To compile this information, for instance, I mean, I never knew that the Stooges, well, I wasn't around when they were touring, but it never occurred to me that they toured. And apparently they toured all the time. And in your book, you say they only spent like 1 month out of the year filming, which I find to be incredible.
Well, they made these films real, real quickly. I mean, in two, three, 4 days, and the film was done. So they made 8 films a year. So three days per film times 8 films, it was 24 days of filming. That's all they needed. They had the whole rest of the year off. So touring was profitable for them, and truthfully, they began on stage. You know, they liked performing in front of live audiences. That's how they got their start in vaudeville, and that's what they were used to, and that's what they liked. And they sort of had it in their blood, like most actors. They couldn't stop. They liked touring. They liked being on the road.
Let's go back to that beginning, because you do cover that in the book. Give us the genesis of the Three Stooges, if you will, where it all started, what they were doing.
It started with a fellow named Ted Healy, who at one time was the highest paid vaudevillian of his day. And he developed an act with his wife and some animals and some stooges. And his act was really unique. He weaved all these different characters into kind of a menagerie kind of act, and he was the ringleader. Gradually, the Stooges, he picked up Mo Howard and Chimp Howard, who were brothers, along the way. They later picked up Larry Fine. And for a while, the Stooges were a very minor part of Healy's act. He was doing a lot on his own. He did stuff with his wife, the animals did stuff, and the Stooges did a few minutes of stuff. As time went by, they became more and more important. And ultimately, they realized that they could do better on their own. And there were several splits with Ted Healy over the years. Ultimately, there was a final split in 1934. He went with MGM. They went with Columbia. No one ever heard of Ted Healy again, and the Stooges went on to become big stars. So that's the short version of how it went down.
That's good to know, because, you know, most of us came into the awareness of the Stooges in our elementary school years, well past their touring years, well past them literally doing anything new, and yet these films, I don't know what the magic elixir is, but, you know, I just fell over. I couldn't believe how much I laughed, and still do. I mean, you know, they're still shown, as you well know, Stooges episodes are shown around the country on a variety of TV stations. And I think they've been remastered, and they look good, and they sound great. But one of the things you point out, we got a break for news here in just a couple of minutes, but one of the things that you do point out, when I just, it reminded me of it when I said sound great. When they're on the road, there's no sound effects, right? I mean, because
well, there were minimal sound effects. They could use the drummer for the orchestra in the early years would, hit the bass drum for a punch in the stomach or something like that. No, you're right. No, they couldn't do any of the crazy, the chug-a-lug drinking sound effects or any of that. You know, the bird whistles when the guys got knocked unconscious. They didn't do any of that stuff. So, you're right. It was very minimalistic, and there were no supporting players or special effects. So it was very stripped-down act, for sure.
Yeah.
Compared to what we saw on TV.
Exactly. We're going to stay with this conversation, and we're getting some very humorous texts coming in. 847, women love the Three Stooges. My older Cuban mother loved watching them with my sons, who are now 41, 38, and 36. They would laugh and laugh. Well, hopefully you'll do some more of that in just a few minutes. Hey, you're saying to yourself, I got WGN on, and they're playing the Three Stooges theme. You would be correct. John Landecker at 735, and we are we are going down the Three Stooges rabbit hole, for lack of a better term, with Gary Lawson, who's the author of A Tour de Farce, The Complete History of the Stooges on the Road. 608, Stooges have been a part of my life for 50 years. Thanks for your guest. See, it's going over well. So, the Stooges tour and tour and tour. I've got a few things from your book that I'd like to reference just out of, because, we're in Chicago, we're in Illinois. The fact that the Stooges at one point went to the Illinois State Fair, I guess this was in 1960? Would that be correct?
They were there twice, in 1960 and in 61.
I didn't realize they toured that late. They weren't still making films then, were they?
Oh, yeah. They were making feature films at that time.
Wow.
Their contract with Columbia ended at the end of 1957, and by late 58 and early 59, they were starting to make feature films, and they continued to make them up until 1965.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. You include some of the other people who were entertaining at the fair, Anita Bryant, Neil Sedaka, the Cordettes, and Ricky Nelson, amongst others. They got paid $11,250, along with the cash equivalent of three round trips.
Had to split it three ways.
Yeah, but who cares? Those were $1,960 dollars. Put some inflation on that. I mean, that's a lot of money. They must have made a lot of money touring, I'm guessing.
During the good years, they made more money touring than they made from the films. They were in high demand during that time, and they were booked constantly, so they made a lot of money on the road, for sure.
Now, I count myself as a Larry, Moe, and Curly guy, okay? So those were the Three Stooges that entertained me the most. Now, I know there were other... Give me the lineup. Give me the chronological lineup of the Stooges, because it changes over the years.
Well, the easiest way to remember it is that Moe and Larry were always there, and then it was the third Stooge whose role was constantly changing. Shemp Howard was the original third Stooge. He left to pursue a solo career, and he was replaced by his younger brother, Curly Howard. Curly Howard suffered a major stroke, and Shemp Howard came back. And Shemp Howard died. He was replaced by Joe Besser. And Joe Besser stayed with the act for 2 years, and he left the act, and he was replaced by Joe DiRita. So there were four people who played the so-called third Shemp, Curly, Joe Besser, and Joe DiRita.
Well, Curly.
So it's a little confusing. Yeah, there's
I know. I had no idea of the chronological order. I had it in my mind, just a straight timeline until I read your book. And then I realized, wait a minute, they come, they go, they come, they go. But to me, just speaking from my point of view, Curly brought to the Three Stooges just an incredible array of sounds, gestures, the way he expressed himself.
Curly, know, whenever they take you know, a vote on, you know, who's your favorite stooge, typically Curly would get more votes than all the other stooges combined, and that's just the way it's always been. You know, his energy, his innocence, you know, people just identify with him way more than the other stooges, for, you know, for good reason, too. And they just appreciate his natural ability, the fact that he was not trained as an actor. He never had any acting jobs or anything like that. He just used his own innate ability to make people laugh. And really? I think that's what people really.
He never had any training.
No.
Wow.
And the other brothers did. The other brothers wanted to be actors. Mo Howard, you know, he left home at a young age to go on a riverboat and perform. And, you know, Curly,
How is it that somebody who has absolutely no acting or show business experience joins the Three Stooges? I mean,
we don't know.
And then turns out to be the most popular one, according to some. How does that happen?
He was one of a kind. He was a natural. And we don't know.
Where was he
before? And there's no interviews with him. There's really very little known about him. He was a very quiet guy. There's no interviews with him. He died young. And he's a mysterious character.
773, real Stooge fans, no Shemp. Okay. Everybody's got their favorite. 779, dear John, when I was a kid, I was probably 8-10 years old. King of Kings came out with Jeffrey Hunter, and we saw them, and I guess the Stooges were part of a bill then. The Three Stooges were there for two performances at the Commodore Theater at Albany and Irving Park Road in Chicago, and that was the biggest thrill of my life. I met Larry, and I met him, and they were great memories. Thank you, Cindy from Dixon. See? Another satisfied customer. If you will.
I can tell you this, that when people met the Stooges in person, they came away with a photograph or an autograph for sure. It's not like, you know, the stars today when a fan or whatever comes up and they don't have time for them. They cover their faces when a camera comes out. The Stooges were exactly the opposite. As soon as the camera came out, they went into their act and they started posing. And, you know, it's just a totally different era, I guess. But they were very, very good with the fans in terms of signing autographs and posing for pictures and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, they made a lot of fans when they went on the road, for sure.
Who came up with the concept? Who was in charge of the idea? Who came up with the idea of the Three Stooges and the sort of plot lines that they would go through and the physical comedy that went along with it? Where did all that start?
Well, it evolved from the era with Ted Healy, who he was the first one who really had Stooges with a little F.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't even named in the programs. So Ted Healy was the star, and the Howard brothers and Larry Fine oftentimes were not even listed. Their names weren't even listed. They were just nameless. They started out as a plant in the audience that, you know, they pretended to be audience members and things like that. And over time, it just evolved into the act that we saw on TV for all those years. It took time. They weren't an overnight success. The act percolated and brewed in vaudeville for 10 years before they even appeared on film.
Well, I'm guessing once they got on, well, let me try to rephrase that. I'm guessing that their reputation and success on the vaudeville circuit brought them attention from the movie studios. And then when they made their films and those went out, that only reinforced their touring. Like, you know, like Taylor Swift puts out an album and she tours. You know, the Stooges would put out a movie and they'd tour. Am I right about that?
Yeah, well, it was a double duty. It promoted the films. Yeah, exactly. You're right.
And most of these films and their appearances, well, let's get to the appearances. When they did their appearances, and it was not usually, they were not alone, from what I gather from your book. They were part of a bill. And that bill could be, oh my gosh, go so many different ways. And also there, in some of the appearances, they'd do their bit. Whoever was on the bill would do their bit, and then there'd be a movie. Is that right?
Typically, there was no movie.
No.
The vaudeville bill typically back in those days had, you know, 6, 7, 8 acts. And, you know, it was a singer, a tap dancer, an acrobatic act, you know, a comedian. You know, it was a variety of acts that they slung together into a show. And, you know, films basically were the death of vaudeville. So,
yeah, I guess so. Yeah. We're going to take a break here, and we got some calls at 312-981-7200. And you mentioned in a January 7th through the 23rd appearance at the Oriental Theater in Chicago, Pinky Lee. Is this the same Pinky Lee that I'm thinking of? The guy with the crazy hat?
Certainly.
Oh, my God. I love Pinky. I had a Pinky Lee doll. Okay, enough.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. It got lost in my grandfather's farm's horse trough. Oh, the memories. We'll be back with more on 720 WGN. 720 WGN's John Landecker at 748, talking to Gary Lassen, author of A Tour de Farce, The Complete History of the Stooges on the Road. Before we go any further, how do people get the book? Let's do that.
They go to the Stoogeum's website, which is stoogeum.com, S-T-O-O-G-E-U-M, stoogeum.com. They can order it from the website.
Good enough. I want to tell you right now, if you're into the Stooges, you've got to have this, because there's never, literally never, ever been anything like this. And that's the reason that it was created, because nobody had put together a complete history of the Stooges on the road. And I have to tip my hat to you, Gary. I mean, the layouts, the pictures must have taken so much effort and so much work. And believe me, it's worth it, because it's quite amazing when you try to take it in. And I've tried to, you know, it's going to take me quite a while to be able to digest all the different places and organizations and events that they visited and performed at. And for Three Stooges fans, it's really a different take. You know, 312-981-7200. Let's go to Rich, who's in Chicago. Hello, Rich. You're on with Gary Lassen.
Hi, Gary. Hi, John. Hi. I turned on my radio, and I heard the word shimp, and and it's like, my God, they're talking Stooges. And I rarely get to talk serious about the Stooges ever, and this was a gig. So I called, and I didn't understand, like, I think what your segment was, but I guess I'm going to throw an observation about Shep, if that's all right.
Sure.
I grew up watching the Stooges, and I equate it, the Stooges are an ever-evolving thing as you watch them. There's always something new to watch with the Stooges. You notice something all the time, and you grow with them. And I'd equate Curly and Shep, maybe even Larry, to sort of like, it's either wine or James Bond.
And just wait a minute.
Work with me.
Hold on. Who?
Wine. You can equate Shemp and Curly to like either wine or James Bond, and it's a learning experience. Like with wine, Curly is like an easy Merlot that is not all that sophisticated. Nobody could replace Curly. He broke the mold. But Curly had a very simple, childlike, totally unique way of appealing, and he was an easy thing to watch and just be incredibly amused by, where if you grow with wine, you start going from like Merlots or something to like Bordeaux, which get more sophisticated, and it's an acquired taste. But once you kind of learn how to drink wine, Bordeaux and drier reds or something, there's much more to enjoy in a wine.
Okay, so what has James Bond got to do with it?
James Bond is nobody really. Roger Moore had huge shoes to fill when he took over for.
Oh,
for
I see
Sean
what you're
Connery.
Saying.
Sean Connery, yeah, okay. You know,
wow.
Bond is Sean Connery. But
have you been to a local dispensary before coming on the air tonight?
No, not at all. Yeah, but once you sort of, to me and a lot of my friends, once you kind of keep that in mind, then you start appreciating all the levels of what, you know, Shemp did that,
right.
While Curly is fantastic, just Shemp brought a whole different scope to it, and he took it in a totally different direction.
All right, thanks for calling. We got to get to some other calls here. Barb from St. Charles. Hello, Barb. You're on WGN.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to, this brought back some great memories. We always went to the Wisconsin State Fair if we weren't didn't take a trip that year, which was only every 4 or 5 years. And so it had to be the summer of 1960, I believe, that we went to the fair and watch the opening act. You know, this was the grandstand. The opening act was on, and it started drizzling rain. The Three Stooges were the main attraction. And nobody really left. And so the first act was over. They came out, and they saw all of the grandstands were still relatively full. And, you know, the raceway had the chairs, which is where we were sitting in front even. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, if you want to stay, if you're willing to stay, we're going to perform for you. And they did their entire act. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible. We were blown away. I mean, I was a kid. My brother was probably 7 or 8. And it was just an incredible act that I still remember. And
you know what? I'll bet
brought a lot of joy to us.
I'll bet that appearance is in this book. I'm putting money on that.
Yeah, it is. And definitely from the Show Must Go On era, the Stooges. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great. That's a great story. Thanks for relating
that. Yeah. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That Stooge fan saw them at in some venue at some point when they were touring, and that event is in your book because you cover them all is what I'm getting at. 815, funny story. My in-laws immigrated from the U.S. to Germany in the early 1950s. When their German relatives came to visit, they thoroughly enjoyed watching the Three Stooges and referred to them as Drell Idiotens, the three idiots. But they still liked them. I think I sold the book. 574. Thanks, Mr. L. Look forward to reading the Stooge book. I've loved them since I was a kid. Oh, and the sound effects. I did find on YouTube, and I played it at the beginning of the show, a montage, I guess you would call it, of the sound effects that were used in the Stooge films. We have a question here on a text. Is there a place to find those sound effects sort of out in the open, sort of clean without music behind them?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. That's a great question. Like a whole series of Stooge sound effects?
Yeah.
I'll bet if you go to the threestooges.net website, they probably have something like that there.
Well, I did find on YouTube.
One after another, something like that, you mean? I don't know about that.
I did find on YouTube I can't remember exactly. Did I lose it? I forget what the label was, but it was already. It was like 4 minutes long, and it was nothing but. If you go to YouTube and Google Three Stooges sound effects, you'll get it.
Yeah, the fan may have put together.
Wait a minute, maybe this is it.
Too much.
But they're taken from, you know, films they're taken from films when they got some music behind them. Do you know who was in charge of those sound effects by any chance?
I forget the guy's name, but he came to work really, really liking his job, and he really reveled in, Joe Henry was his name, I'm sorry, I forgot his name. He really reveled in coming up with the craziest sound effects that he could. He really liked coming up with stuff that would make people laugh, and he was really good at his job because when he turned the sound effects off, it's not as funny.
No, it sure isn't. Can you say a few words about your museum Stoogism, if that's the way you say it, where it is, how you get there, what do you see when you get there?
Well, it's a pretty far trip from Chicago. It's in suburban Philadelphia. In Ambler, Pennsylvania, and it's about 10,000 square feet, and it's nothing but Stoogeabilia, wall to wall, Stooge stuff. It was designed with a philosophy that it'd be a place where a Stooge fan would want to have his ashes scattered, and you'll see anything and everything Stooge there. So it only costs $10 to get in, and if you're a senior citizen or a kid, we got discounts, cost less. And it's open by appointment. You can call my wonderful staff. They'll set you up to come visit, and I'll give you an eye poke personally.
And you have a theater in there, I read? Like an 80-some seat theater?
Small 85-seat theater. We're showing films on a loop, so when you get tired of looking at all the memorabilia, you can take a load off for a while, sit down, and watch some films. And
that's a deal. That is a deal. Is there any, we got like about 90 seconds, is there anything that you want to add? Gary, since you're the Three Stooges expert here, is there anything that you want to throw out there that
I just want to thank all the great the Chicago area. You know, when the Stooges did go on the road, every road trip went through Chicago, everyone.
Right.
Because to get from the West Coast to the East Coast, where most of the populated cities were, they had to go through Chicago, either on the way out to the West Coast or the way back. So they were in Chicago many, many times, made many, many fans there, and they've been on the air in Chicago for many, many years.
Absolutely.
So we've got a real, real great number of fans. I just want to say hello to all the listeners that have supported the Stooges Fan Club over the years and have come to our conventions. I know you're out there listening. That's all. Just a big shout-out to the fans.
Well, thanks very much for being with us, and all the best to you and the museum and the Stooges. Thanks for being with us. That is Gary Lassen, who's the author of The Tour de Farce, The Complete History of the Stooges on the Road.